from We Energy's Energy Park at the Wisconsin State Fair, Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Wisconsin's 4-H program has been working with kids for more than a century. The organization's name is a reference to its original motto, Head, Hearts, Hands, and Health. And full disclosure, I was a 4-H kid.
Although the program has changed over the years, I think Bonnie is no longer in 4-H, but
no.
It still maintains some roots in the celebration of rural and agricultural work, offering hands-on learning experiences in horticulture, animal sciences, and more.
Joining us now is Dale Lighthizer, the State Program Director of the 4-H Youth Development Program. Dale, thanks so much for driving over here and spending some time with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So give us some history of the 4-H program here in Wisconsin. When did it first start?
Well, you know, I'd like to reflect back on Abraham Lincoln as well.
Okay.
In 1862, there was a legislator from Vermont, Justin Merrill, who proposed a bill that was signed by President Lincoln that formed the land-grant university system. And we all know that the University of Wisconsin-Madison is our land-grant university. What that legislation did is it granted land to all of the states to do three different things. One was to do education, which all universities do. The second thing was to do research that related to the people of the state. And the third thing was to take that education and that knowledge that was developed and give it back to the people of the state. And that's what University of Wisconsin Extension is about. That's what 4-H Youth Development is about. So in 1902, there were innovations that came about in agriculture in particular because 80 or 90% of our state population was engaged in production agriculture. And there were hybrid corn seeds that were developed that far outproduced the fertile corn that farmers were used to planting. And farmers were not adopting this new innovation. And so there was an educator in Ohio who decided, let me get together a group of boys, and we'll have these boys plant a demonstration plot of corn and demonstrate to their fathers the value of this new innovation. So at the end of the year, boys would measure their yield, and they would say, Dad, what's your yield? And Dad would say, my yield of corn was 35 bushels an acre, or whatever it happened to be. And dads would say, what was your yield? And boys would puff up their chest, and they would say, 120 bushels, 200 bushels, 235 bushels. There was a young boy in North Carolina that I think set the record of 235 bushels an acre. What do you think those parents did? They saw the value in buying fertile seed or the hybrid seed as opposed to just retaining that fertile seed that they'd been used to.
So in a strange way, 4-H traces its roots to kids showing up their parents.
Absolutely. And changing the behavior of their parents. Yeah, yeah.
The idea that kids can change the world here in some way.
Yeah, one parent at a time.
So when did 4-H become more like training students and training young people to know how to do farming or to do other things? When did that happen?
Well, you know, there was an evolution of things. You know, the corn clubs really came first. And the second thing that happened, there were more innovations, more technology, more research done. And our University of Wisconsin did the primary research on vitamins, really discovering what vitamins were all about. And in the 1920s and 30s, we discovered that a lack of vitamin C caused scurvy in people. And scurvy was a real problem in the winter for people in our state and around the country because fresh fruits were not available at that time. Well, they found that tomatoes were high in vitamin C. And they started to have girls canning clubs, just as we'd had boys corn clubs. And so people really started canning a lot of tomatoes, and it became a status symbol. People would line their shelves and their mantles and their windows to have all these canned tomatoes on display. And there was no decrease in scurvy.
Well, so how?
So you know what happened. I got to finish the story here.
I'm waiting here, yes.
Okay. Well, it was such a status symbol, people weren't eating the tomatoes.
Huh.
So they had to go back in and do recipes and you know, fundamental ways to use those tomatoes.
So you'd get the vitamin C.
So you would get right. The vitamin C, yeah.
This was like the old days when people, you know, the colonial landowners would have a pineapple to display their wealth, but they would never eat that pineapple because they thought it was, you know, they were consuming their wealth.
Sure,
right.
Sure. So over time, we've really evolved into a program where the research has been about the projects that we offer. And in the last 20 years, it's been a lot more about what are the results that we achieve with young people. So, you know, we've got 75 or 80 different projects that young people can engage in. Science and technology is still at the core of what it is we do. And STEM education is a national effort that Extension is engaged in, especially with 4-H and youth.
Well, let me ask you this, because I imagine there are a lot of these. What are the greatest misconceptions that people have about what 4-H is and what it's all about today?
Yeah, I would say that people in Milwaukee would say 4-H isn't for me because we don't live on a farm and we don't raise pigs or cows, or we don't have a dairy animal in the backyard. What we know is in our state is that about 7% of our population is engaged in production agriculture. About 10% of our youth population in 4-H programs come from farms, and that's primarily because our reach into rural areas, there aren't as many other youth development opportunities for young people as there are in more urban areas. But when we tell people that 4-H is for anyone, any young person, anywhere, and what it is we achieve, we start to get more people engaged.
Well, and so how much of your membership is in larger, more urban areas or suburban areas like Milwaukee or Madison or even the other cities like Eau Claire and La Crosse?
Sure. When you take a look at the raw numbers that we have across the state, we had about 150,000 young people across the state of Wisconsin engaged in our programs. 10% of those young people live on farms. And other than that, we have reach into every single county. And we have 15,000 volunteers that work with us in helping to deliver programs to young people. Well, so it's for everyone around the state.
Let's talk a little bit about the programs. What are the kinds of things that are the most popular? What are young people most interested in participating in?
You know, one of the interesting things to me is that the media drives some of the things that occur. And here on the state fairgrounds for the last few days, there has been an archery display over here in the natural resources area. And archery is one of the top newer programs that is really drawing great membership. And it's because of the Hunger Games. And Katniss, who's an archer, and we have a lot of girls that are really taking up archery and really excelling.
That image of the strong girl with the bow and arrow is it's interesting that's now connected not only with the Hunger Games but with 4-H.
Absolutely. One of the things we know too from some of our research is that girls in 4-H, because of the challenges and the opportunities that they have to learn and the questions that they ask, it's all about inquiry. And we know that scientists ask a lot of questions. And at the core of that is just inquisitiveness. And girls in our programs, because they identify things that they want to learn, are twice as likely as other young girls to pursue careers related to science, to take science-related classes. It's one of the real successes I think we have in our programs, especially when we hear in the news how women are not represented equitably in science-related industries.
Well, and to that end, what are the kinds of programs and organizations that 4-H is now involved with that didn't used to be the case? Who are your partners out in the community?
You know, around the country, we have a public-private partnership with a national 4-H council that does fundraising and development on our behalf. We have a Wisconsin 4-H Foundation. Microsoft is a new partner nationally. They're considering doing some work here in Wisconsin with us. United Healthcare is with us. We have a lot of other nationally known companies that are really engaging with 4-H youth development because of what we offer.
Now, I remember when I was in 4-H, one of the big things was to come to the fair with whatever you had, whether you had, you were growing pumpkins or you were having a garden that 4-H inspectors would come to your house and make sure you were growing things, or if you had pigs or sheep or that sort of thing. What kind of involvement do 4-H'ers have here at the State Fair?
Well, I think we need to take a look at both county fairs and state fairs. State fair is kind of a culmination of young people that have excelled in their county fairs, where there are opportunities to really reflect upon the learning that's taken place. And that's what we're about in education, is reflecting on our learning. And it's about demonstrating through the projects that they take, the animals that are here, the other exhibits that we have in our 4-H displays, that young people visit with judges, and judges say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. When we have showmanship exhibits, you know, part of it is about the product. It might be about the animal and their conformation and how well they conform to the perfection, the standard of perfection. And part of it is what young people have learned. And so our focus is really on the child more than the product. And the project that they take, the animal that they raise, is it's a means to a greater end. And the greater end is about life skills, and it's about communication skills and decision making and responsibility. Some of those things that are important to employers no matter where you happen to live, and it's about preparing young people for the rest of their lives.
I think you may have just answered this question, but let me ask it to you in a slightly different way. I mean, it's 2017, and there are a lot of opportunities for young people in rural, suburban, and urban areas. Why is it still so important for 4-H to be there and doing what it does at this point in time?
Well, one of the things is we, as a public organization, funded primarily with tax dollars, with going back to the Morrill Act of 1862, it's about federal funding through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, where we started. It's about state funding through the state legislature and University of Wisconsin Extension. And it's about our county partners, our county boards of supervisors who support us. So we've got an obligation, number one. And we just need to be able to do the marketing and really be able to get people engaged in our programs and really understand the results we achieve.
How many kids are showing things and doing things in the state fair this year?
Thousands.
Thousands.
I wish I had a number.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got kids from all over the state, and dairy and beef and sheep and swine and rabbits and poultry. We have other young people that have got exhibits in woodworking and clothing and arts-related projects. We have young people that have been part of our drama company that are here. We've got a leadership group that was really helping out a lot last night with the Governor's Blue Ribbon Meat Products Auction. We have young people engaged in a lot of different opportunities here at the fair consistently, as well as in the natural resources area, where we've got some UW Extension exhibits going on.
Given the amount of time and effort the 4-H kids and volunteers put in before they come here, what are your feelings as the state youth program director for 4-H when you walk around the state fair and you see the results of all of this effort?
Well, I have nothing but pride about our young people and the work that they do. And I have a lot of anticipation for the growth that we have when people really see what young people have done.
And I have to ask also your favorite part of the fair, besides the 4-H exhibits and things, what do you like to do when you're not on the job?
Well, I have to have at least one cream puff a day. You know, it's my RDA, my recommended daily allowance of cream puffs. So I've got to do that. I love walking around the state fair. We have some great donors that are part of the state fair. I like visiting with people and seeing old friends. That's all part of the state fair experience for me.
Dale Eidheiser is the state program director of the 4-H Youth Development Program. Dale, it's been a thrill to have you here. Thank you so much, and hope you can stick around for a few more minutes.
I will do that. Thank you very much.